Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. Well, this may be the most off-the-wall report I've done, but it is that time of year. Broadway shows turning off their lights by the minute, and I'm not referring to the recent blackout. Off-Broadway, always active. And then there is the off stuff, three of which I will discuss shortly. But first, some of the week's news. Yes, another three closings have been announced, two very successful with nothing to cry about. First off, there is Beautiful, the Carole King show that has run almost 6 years and made hundreds of millions of dollars. That one will end in October. Then there is Waitress, which has had a rather miraculous three-year run. The show is noteworthy in that it started with a well-known Broadway name, Jessie Mueller, but then kept replacing hers and other roles along the way. The composer Sarah Bareilles went in for a while, as did American Idol star Catherine McPhee. Actors like Eric Bergen and Jeremy Jordan played the leading man. Heck, even Al Roker did a stint as a side character. This was not an award winner, but it was a word-of-mouth pleaser, and I mean that literally, since audiences were invited to buy slices of pie before or during the show. The final shutdown recently announced is Frankie and Johnny in the Clair de Lune. Now, I don't know why this slender piece was brought back, especially on a big stage, but I guess when Audra McDonald and Michael Shannon are available and eager to do a limited run, well, who can say no? Well, a lot of potential ticket buyers, apparently. This one is ending a month ahead of schedule. As for shows coming, it's been announced that The Great Society will be arriving at Lincoln Center in September for a 12-week run. Now, this is part two of the LBJ historical saga written by Robert Chaykin. Instead of Bryan Cranston in the title role this time, it will be Brian Cox, a great actor currently in Succession on HBO. Speaking of coming productions, a lot of folks have been talking about those massive full-page ads taken out for the next revival of West Side Story. Director Ivo van Hove, not my fave, but always pushing the envelope, is at the helm of this one. For starters, we do know he'll be replacing the iconic choreography of Jerome Robbins. The ads are rather mysterious, and some have noted that all the performers shown but not named seem to be male. Will we be hearing, "I just met a boy named Mario"? Who knows? Steven Spielberg is making a new version of the film at the same time with Tony Kushner in charge of the adaptation. I promise I'm going to do some exploration on this, but are people really allowed to tinker with Arthur Laurent's script? Well, a discussion worth having, and we will at some point. But now for the three things I recently saw. Let's start outside at Riverside Park at 89th, just under a huge Soldiers Memorial. Here, the Hudson Warehouse Company has a summer full of shows planned. The Man in the Iron Mask, the famous novel by Dumas, has been cleverly adapted by Suzanne Lee. It features those famous musketeers, and it's a delightful production. And a challenging one for the actors. They walk off and on onto a platform, no backstage, obviously, and often scamper up and down the middle aisle between the audience members. They use no mics, which means they have to project without sounding like they are yelling, and they have to compete with the constant sounds of sirens and airplanes. Well, somehow the 90-minute show, replete with some damn good dueling, works well. Did I mention it's free? And who knew a story so old could occasionally feel so new? All these titles and not one person around to flatter me, says one character, about whom another says he cares only for himself and knows nothing of being a king. Now, speaking of resonating, a reading I experienced was perhaps the most notable work of my week. It is called Sanctuary City and was written by Martina Majok. She won the Pulitzer for drama in 2018. Now, this one was performed by a trio of first-rate actors as part of the Powerhouse summer program that takes place on the Vassar campus. Sanctuary City is already rumored to be on the way to the New York Theater Workshop, and I'm not surprised. The story focuses on two immigrants and the choices they make over 3.5 years. The reading got such ticket demand that it was moved to a bigger venue, an actual church on campus. "Some stories demand to be told in the church," said the director of Powerhouse, and Sanctuary City did feel like one of those stories. This one is tough and uncompromising. "Why would you want to stay in a country that doesn't want me in it?" is one line I recall. "I've had to hide who I am in every part of my life," is another. It is a love story. A later third character makes it a triangle, but mostly it is a plea for tolerance. And finally, I caught the end of a highly successful run of Bronco Billy at the Skylight Theater in Los Angeles, where I am currently, by the way. This is the popular company's first original musical. The show is based on the 1980 Clint Eastwood movie. Its screenwriter, Dennis Hacken, always thought the story had potential for live theater, where he first started. Well, it's taken a lot of time and a lot of workshopping, but now it is a charming tale filled with infectious music, and this production, at least, filled with outstanding performances. I spoke with the composers of the show, Chip Rosenblum and John Torres. They wrote countless songs, many tossed out and replaced. They are individual songwriters, but now they were learning as a team about bridges and how to mix songs with a book and so on. I reminded them how Stephen Sondheim wrote for a show that also played out of town. Something was needed for a particular character at a key moment. So overnight, he wrote a little ditty called "Send in the Clowns." Well, Bronco Billy is not Sondheim, but said John Torres, "We knew we had a show with heart." Added Chip, "Some people have seen it 3 times, and one told me he comes whenever he gets down." And it is a feel-good show about family and dreams. There are plenty of good lines. "I want to know if I have a purpose, because I sure don't have a plan. I need a job, not a dream." And there's even some resonating in this lighthearted story. "There's a world out there," goes one lyric, "that tells you you don't belong." How Skylight managed to get more than a dozen performers and a band up on a small stage is rather miraculous. The artistic director, Gary Grossman, explained before the performance that this is called intimate theater, meaning under 99 seats. And he says it is the current lifeblood of Los Angeles theater. Well, amen to that. This one has its own dreams of moving onward, so stay tuned, New York. Anyway, you could hardly find 3 more different stage offerings, and I enjoyed them all. Jill, how often can one say that?
But it's always a pleasure when you do.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So what is your, just if you had an overview. What's going on? What is going on this summer? How does this summer compare to past summers in Broadway land, do you think?
I think it's the most, I may be wrong, but I think it's the most closings announced in one summer and the most empty theaters.
And is that because there are new things getting ready to come in, or is it just...
Some, but not enough to fill all these theaters. I have to get a number... they'll all be closed by, let's say, October. Maybe one, it might be going to January, I don't know. But that's going to be a lot of dark theaters at one point. Yeah, they'll start being filled, but I don't know. West Side Story's not coming until January, I don't think. The big one from England is opening, Inheritance. That opens, I think, in the fall. And now this... the LBJ show just been announced, but that's coming to Lincoln Center. That is considered Broadway, by the way, but right. It's not what we consider, what most people consider Broadway. It seems like an awful lot. Post Tony Awards, it's not unusual, even though those shows the 3 I mentioned this week don't really factor in, because 2 of them are very old, and all of them are very old. That didn't factor into those. The earlier ones, it did.
Yeah, and it's possible that it's weirdly consonant. In other words, they were. I don't know what you've heard about. Has Beautiful been, fading? I don't want to say fading. Just nearing the end of its run. Has Waitress also been nearing the end of its run?
I would say so quietly. I mean, you know how I always like to go check the ticket kiosk because I'm always curious what's half price and what isn't. I would say Beautiful and Waitress have been on that list for a long time. My Fair Lady was, which also just closed. So you do get a hint from those things. And as far as I know, the only ones that still aren't up there, you know, the usual, The Lion King and Hamilton and Hadestown, Come From Away and Evan Hansen, still rarely, if ever, up there. So you do get a hint from those. At time, you know, how many shows besides Phantom of the Opera play, you know, decades?
I remember Phantom of the Opera, Cats, Miss Saigon. There were those that just, you know, were the mains way, way, way back when.
The last Miss Saigon last year.
I'm talking before you were born. In other words, I'm talking exactly, when these shows first opened, when Phantom opened, when Les Mis opened, when you know, they were there for following in the tradition of Cats. They were there for ages and ages, and you sort of, you know, you put in your other shows around those. Those were your mainstays. Now, you've got The Lion. I'm certain there are, there's a similar pattern. I mean,
I think there, well, of course, now, because those shows now would be considered revivals. Now, you know, this seems to be, there seem to be more revivals done now than, I don't know, certainly since I've been in New York, which is at least 2.5 decades or so. I don't remember this many. Oh, every year there's more revivals. We have Oklahoma up, which, by the way, I see on Half Price all the time. And I would not be surprised if that one goes down, even though that did just win a Tony. But it's such a controversial version. So I don't know. Prices, you know, you can't not talk about what it costs to go to a Broadway show nowadays.
Right, and you cannot ignore the economics of keeping something open that isn't drawing the people that it needs to draw because of how costly it is. So, I mean, those are all reasonable dialogues to be had. Have you heard anything about Moulin Rouge?
Ah, that's the next one to open. I'll probably see that when I return to New York in a few weeks. That is the first one. It's getting pretty good buzz, very big cast, very expensive, I think. We'll see. You know, that, of course, is adapted from the movie, but it always felt more like a stage show in a funny way. Another thing that happened theater-wise on television is that Fosse Verdon, about Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon, just got nominated for a lot of Emmy Awards, even though it wasn't a show that was buzzed about that much, and it was something that only theater lovers even knew about. But that's kind of good news, and I'm going to predict right here that Michelle Williams, whose name sounds a lot like mine, but that's not why, that Michelle Williams is going to win the Emmy for Best Actress, playing Gwen Verdon. I'm just going to say that right here, and we'll see if I'm right.
All right, and what that will also do is it's, in its own way, going to draw more and more people into the theater universe and that bit of history, which will, of course, ignite interest in other shows.
That's right. It's always good to bring back a Fosse play. Never get tired of those Fosse moves. And nobody has a right to to take out that choreography.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.